We're on Pasuk Chav Gimel, Pasuk 24, Pasuk Chav Dalid. 6 lines in the top. Last time we were discussing that the seven nations represented the seven Midas, and that not every Jew has the ability to elevate. We discussed that whole thing with the Meraglim and so on. Okay, basically the Torah says, Hashem, as we learned last week, told the Jews, I foresee that you're going to be sinning, and therefore I myself will not be going accompanying you to Israel. I'm going to send my angel, but you better not rebel against him because my name is part of him. And basically Hashem is telling him, if you rebel against the angels, like rebelling against me. So the Pasuk says like this, I'm going to bring you to the nations, you're going to destroy the seven nations. He says, you should not bow down to their gods. You're not allowed to worship their gods. And you shouldn't follow in their actions. On the contrary, you should destroy them, tear them apart. And you should smash their pillars. Meaning, there was a mitzvah in the Torah that when the Jews came into Eretz Yisrael, they had a positive commandment to destroy all the idols that existed throughout the entire land of Canaan. And as we discussed already before, that this whole concept of not to bowing to other gods, okay, now even though the Torah mentioned not worshipping idols a number of times already, but nevertheless, it's basically the most fundamental mitzvah in the Torah. And like we discussed in the previous weeks, that Aveda Zara does not only mean idol worshipping, it means anything which is foreign for the Jew. So Hashem is saying basically, not only can you not worship idols, Hashem warns you can't even have them. You have to destroy them. You come into the country, they have to be completely destroyed. You can't have any connection to them whatsoever. Because if they're around, there is a possibility you might come to worship them or follow their deeds. But the Torah is adding, interestingly over here, not only can you not serve them, but you're not allowed to follow in their actions. As it says in different places in Chumash, the negative commandment, that a Jew is not allowed to follow in any Goyish traditions. It's biblically forbidden for a Jew to follow in the ways of a Goy. Because then the Pasuk continues and says like this, V'avadetem es Hashem alekechem, you should serve God, obeirech lach mecho es meimecho, and then when you do that, God will bless your bread, God will bless your waters, v'asireisi machla mikebecho, and I will remove illness from your midst. Now, V'avadetem es Hashem alekechem, it says to serve God. Now, in similar psukim, it says, ula'avdei b'chol levavchem, to serve God, with all your heart. And therefore, what is the Aveda? The Gemara says, what is considered the Aveda of the heart? It means davening. Because in Shema we say, Ula'avdei b'chol levavchem, you should serve God with all your heart. So the Gemara asks, how do you serve God with your heart? I mean, with your hands, I understand, you do mitzvahs or whatever. So the Gemara learns that refers to the concept of davening. Now, it's interesting, when it comes to davening, which is this mitzvah, one of the many psukim that discuss davening, v'avadetem es Hashem alokeichem, it calls it avoida. Learning, you don't find, it's interesting, if you look in Chazal, you always find the expression, limud ha-Torah, learning Torah. It doesn't say avoidas ha-Torah. It doesn't say work of Torah. It says, Avayda is Avayda Satfila. Vasheva so Avayda Lidvir Vesecha. When it says in Pirkei Avos, the world stands on three pillars. Torah, Avayda, and Gemilas Chasadim. Torah, Avayda means sacrifices, but now we don't have sacrifices. So Avayda refers to davening. So davening is always called Avayda. Not learning is never called Avayda Satayra. It's called Limud HaTayra. Esek HaTayra. Occupation of Torah. By it comes to davening, the Torah uses the word Avayda. Now what does Avayda mean? Simply it comes to the word Eved. Eved is a slave. Avayda, basically, there's Melacha, and there is Aveda. Earlier in Chumash, when it says about the slavery of the Jews in Mitzrayim, it says, Tichpad aleim ha'avoida. Avoida is slavery type of work. Melacha, when the Torah says, Be'Shabbos, they say, don't do melacha. It means work, whatever the work, creativity work. But Eved symbolizes a more severe type of a work. But the truth is, in Chassidus it explains that the word Avoida, and we learned this in the past, comes from the word Ibud Eres, which means tanning hahide. Ma'abed is one of the malachas which are forbidden on Shabbos. It means tanning hide. The hide of an animal. What does tanning of a hide of an animal mean? When you kill an animal, you take off the skin. We learned this in the past. It's very thick, it's very coarse, it's not usable. How do you make the hide of an animal usable? You want to make it into parchment, into leather, into something usable. So you have to, what's called in English, tan the hide. Tanning the hide basically means you take thick combs and you work it over and you basically torture the hide until it becomes refined in a way that you can use it either for leather or for parchment or for whatever you want to use it. Chassidus explains that davening is that avoda. The concept, unlike learning, the concept of davening is a person refining the coarseness, the thickness, the evil of the body and the animal soul. Learning Torah is not so much refining yourself. Torah is basically bringing God down. Davening is us going up to God. In other words, when you want to make a shidduch, when between God and us, okay, we want to get connected to Hashem. It could work in one of three ways. Either God comes to us, we go to God, or you meet midway. These are the three pillars that the world stands on. Torah, Aveda, and Gemilas Chasodim. Torah is a person's intellect studies God's Torah. So what happens when you learn Torah? You bring godliness, God's wisdom, into your brain. You're not elevating yourself. You're bringing God down into your head. Davening is the reverse. Davening is not bringing God down to us. Davening is avoda shebalev, means refining the body, the animal soul, the yetzer hara, that by refining it, you elevate it to God. And then you have gemilas chasadim, the third pillar, which is the attribute of teferes, so to speak, which is a mixture of both together. God comes down, you go up, you meet midway. So you have in the three pillars, you have learning Torah is bringing God down to us. Davening is refining ourselves to elevate to God. And Gemilas Chasadim is like both midway. So that's when it comes to davening, the Torah always uses the expression, or here the Pasuk said, Vavadetem es Hashem Elokeichem. It's actually Aveda, which is the concept of the person refining himself to become closer to God. And therefore by learning, you don't have the word Aveda. Because learning doesn't refine the person. Learning brings down God into your brain. You have an understanding, a godly understanding, but it doesn't make the person much more refined, necessarily. No, you need God to come down to you also. Each one has an advantage. But the Gemara does say in Brachis, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Halavai sheyispal al adam kol hayom kulay. Rabbi Yechanan said, Halavai, may it only be that a person should daven a whole day. So obviously, it doesn't mean to say, Ashrei, fall asleep for 10 minutes, say Yeshvei, wake up, and you know, because that's the only way you could daven a whole day. You can write the davening in a half a day. You mean, forget saying the davening. What it means, and this is what, based on what we're explaining, we can understand it. Rabbi Yechanan is explaining that halavai, a person should be on the level of davening a whole day. Not, we're not talking about davening. We're talking about the person refining themselves an entire day. In fact, it says in Moses Svarim, in Chassidus Svarim, it says, Shachris is supposed to last the Jew to Mincha. Mincha is supposed to last you to Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv is supposed to last you to Shachris. And the whole davening is supposed to influence the whole day. And that's what Rabbi Yechanan means. Halavai, that a person should be influenced by the davening all day, meaning you're refining. And that's why, by the way, like we learned, the reason why the Jews had to be enslaved in Egypt to be avodim, because it says Mitzrayim was the refining process of the Jewish people to become a nation fit to receive the Torah. So Mitzrayim basically was the concept of refining the Jew, like similar to davening. And just like halachically, first you daven, then you learn. So the same thing, first was Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then they had Matan Torah. Okay, then he says, "Beirach eslach mecha v'esmeimecha, Hashem will bless your bread and your water," meaning these are both the staples of life, bread and water, meaning all food and all drink. And in other words, he'll be in the way of a bracha, be a way of bracha, you'll be have it in abundance. And then Hashem says, "Vasireisi machla mekebecha, I will take away illness from you." Now, before we go further, the Gemara of the Mefarshim ask a very interesting question, a simple question. If you look at the beginning of the Pasuk starts off plural and ends off singular. The Pasuk starts by saying, "Vavadetem es Hashem Elokechem," which is plural. You, plural, should serve God. And then at the end he says, "Ubeirach lachmecha," not lachmechem. Plural should be lachmechem. Mm-hmm. So the Pasuk starts off plural and ends off singular. So why is the Pasuk starting off plural and ending off singular? So the answer, with the marshal of a king. A king wants something built. He says, "I'm going to pay X amount of money to get it built." The king doesn't care who builds it, as long as it gets done. The king couldn't care less who builds the city. The king wants the city to get built. So the person builds the city. Whoever does it, does it. He doesn't care. When it comes to Torah mitzvahs, Hashem said it's not enough that Jews collectively do Torah mitzvahs. You know, if you have an individual Jew, he'll say, "You know what? There's so many Jews keeping mitzvahs, what do you need me for? They don't need me. God has so many Jews doing mitzvahs, you don't need me to do it." So the Pasuk says, no. Ubeirach lachmecha v'esmeimecha, the reward has to be to every individual based on the way the individual does mitzvahs. Meaning, you can have two people putting on tefillin, one will get a much different reward than another one will. Why? Because it depends the intent, the love, the enthusiasm, the excitement of the mitzvah. So one who does a mitzvah with more excitement is going to get more reward. There's a famous story. There was a king that called in four workers and he said, "I have a room to build. Money is no object. I want you to build, each one should build a wall. And the one that builds the nicest wall is going to get the most reward. I'm going to pay all of you, but the one that builds the nicest wall of the four is going to get the ultimate reward." So three workers right away started getting to work. And they take gold and diamond, they were creative, and their mamish creating beautiful walls. The fourth guy wasn't doing, he's probably Jewish, he wasn't doing a thing. He sat and slept, he did mamish no work. Finally, and the guys were wondering, why isn't the guy working? There's so much work that he's not doing a thing. So finally, when it came the night before the deadline, they were all finishing the work. The fourth guy took and put on the fourth wall mirrors that reflected all the three other walls. And his wall ended up to be more beautiful than all the other walls because it reflected all three walls. So when it came time for reward, the king gave each one a tremendous reward. And the last guy, he gave a mirror. So the guy said, "Come on, my wall's the nicest of them all." He says, "Yeah, I'm going to give a mirror that's going to reflect all their rewards, and that's what you're going to get." In other words, no, what's the moral of the story, so to speak? The guy ended up there maybe with the most beautiful wall. But the bottom line, Hashem rewards based on your effort. So Hashem is going to say, and that's why it says, "Ubeirach lachmecha v'esmeimecha," singular, because Hashem is going to reward the person based on the individual level. And therefore, when people in Yiddishkeit come along and say, you know, in Yiddishkeit there's no individuality. Today they don't even think about it. In the 60s, it was a big thing. They were used to say, there's no individuality in Yiddishkeit. Everybody's putting on the same tefillin. Everybody's keeping the same kosher. And where's my, you know, the 60s, everybody was looking for themselves. Where's the individuality of me, you know, of the me in Yiddishkeit? So the reason why that's wrong is because, yeah, everybody has to put on tefillin, but no two people put on tefillin the same way. No two people keep Shabbos the same way. I'm talking, even if you keep Shabbos completely, but the way you keep Shabbos, in the kavan, in the nesham of it, everybody is different. So therefore, the pasuk says, I'm going to, you know, judge every person individually.
So every individual can deal with God too, right?
Heal?
Deal. You deal with God.
Yeah, but he's a hard negotiator.
Yeah?
Yeah, very tough. Because as soon as you think you get a deal,
yeah.
No deal. No deal. Okay, now, what does it mean here? Vasireisi machla mikebecha. He says, Hashem will remove illness from your midst. Basically, Hashem's illness is not only that He makes you sick and heals it, but as the pasuk says in Beshalach, that kol machla shesamti b'mitzrayim le'osim alecha, ki ani Hashem reifecha. He says it's called preventive medicine. Hashem says any illness that I put into Egypt, I'm not going to put onto you. So the way Hashem heals is not in a way that He makes you sick and then He heals. He says, "Vasireisi machla mikirbecha." I'm going to take away all illness from you, in a way that there is preventive medicine. Now, there's an interesting word brought down in Sfarim. The word chole, ches vav lamed hey. Ches is 8, vav is 6, is 14. Lamed is 30, which is 44, and He is 5, which equals 49. So it says, what is the definition? He doesn't hear Bukhlal. How can it be bothering him? So Chayla says in form equals 49. So it says in Svarim, what's the connection between Chayla and 49? The Gemara says, Chamishim Shari Bina Nivra Ba'ilam. Hashem created 50 levels of understanding of godliness in the world. The Gemara says, each one of the, all 49 of them were given to Moshe, except one. That's why it says in the Pasuk, Vatechasreu Ma'at Melukim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was missing a little bit from God. What was he missing a little bit from God? Because out of the 50 levels of understanding God, Moshe Rabbeinu reached only 49. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, when Moshe Rabbeinu died, he was buried in Har Nevo, says at the end of Chumash, Har Nevo. Nevo is Nun Bo. That means when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, and Hashem left his body, then he reached the 50th level, the Nun Bo. The Gemara says he reached the 50th level of understanding. So it says in Svarim that the word Chole is sick. If you only have 49 levels of godliness, you're sick. Because you're missing the 50th level, which is the ultimate level of godliness. So therefore, it's brought down, Chassidus brings it down many places, that the word...
We're all sick.
The problem is we're very sick, because we don't have 49 either.
Is that the opposite equivalent of the 49th level of the impurity?
Yeah, it's the opposite of it.
Exactly. Opposite.
Correct.
Anybody reach that level except Moshe Rabbeinu?
What? I don't know. I know one thing. I didn't. That's all I can speak for. I can't speak for anybody else.
We know that.
Okay, good. At least we agree. At least once we agree. Okay. Now, another thing. Why does it say... the Mefarshim explain another thing. Why is it brought down the beginning of the Pasuk plural and the end of the Pasuk Lashon Yachid? Because it says, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, it says you have to warn everybody of your household. In other words, it's not only that you have to keep Yiddishkeit. He said, "Va'avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem." You have to make sure that your family serves God, plural. And then it goes into the individual people. Okay, that's about it. Oh, another thing they say. There's another interesting vort. Who says this? This is the Shachog. It's a very interesting vort. He says, why is the beginning of the pasuk plural and the end of the pasuk singular? He says like this. When is speaking about Vavadetem es Hashem Elokeichem, to serve God, you should do it with a lot of people. Like a minion, a lot of people, you know, Reivam Hadras Melech. When it comes to Lachmucha Meimecha, when it comes to eating and drinking, sit alone and eat. Why? Because when you get together in public to eat and drink, you end up speaking Lashon Hara. So he's saying, this is what the Pasuk says. Vavadetem, when you're serving God, do it with a lot of people together. But when Lachmucha Vesmeimach, when you're talking about bread and water, you're talking about eating, he says, do it by yourself, singular. You shouldn't come to do the Lashon Hara. Okay, next Pasuk. Pasuk Chavov. This is again speaking when the Jews follow in the ways of Hashem. So Hashem says, I'll bless your gashmis, I'll bless your health and so on. And then he says, there will not be a woman who loses her young, or a woman who is barren, meaning that she's not able to have children. I will fill the days of your life. So basically, the Pasuk again seems to be implying that the simple meaning of the Pasuk, when a Jew follows in the ways of Torah and Mitzvahs, so then Hashem will give you all the physical wealth, everything good. But he says, Es mispa yamecha amali. Hashem says, I will fill the days of your life. Now there's an argument in the Mishnah between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. What is the definition of this Pasuk? Rabbi Kiva says that if a person behaves, in other words, according to Rabbi Kiva, it means like this. Let's say a person at the beginning of his life, when he's born, is destined to live 100 years. So Rabbi Kiva says, what does the Pasuk mean? If you keep mitzvahs, I'll fill you the days of your life. If you keep mitzvahs, I'll make you live until 100. But not more, because you were given 100 years. The Chachamim say, no, that if you do the mitzvahs properly, I will add to the life that you were supposed to have to begin with. So if you're supposed to live to 100, you're going to live to 120. The Bekiva says, no, whatever days you're going to live, you're going to live. If you don't keep mitzvahs, you're going to die earlier. Okay, that's the simple meaning of what the Bekiva and the Chachamim argue. But it means as follows. What does it mean? Es misper yamecha amali. I will fill the days of your life. By Avraham Avinu, it says in Parshas Chayisara, when Avram Avinu was getting old, the Pasuk says, Avram Zaken Ba Bayamim. Avram was old, coming in days. So the Gemara explains, what does it mean? The Medrash explains, the Gemara explains, what does it mean? It's redundant. Zaken means old, so Ba Bayamim is coming in days. I mean, why is the Torah saying Ba Bayamim? So the Gemara says, there's a person that's old and not necessarily Ba Bayamim. Baba Yama means the days of his life were complete. Complete days. That means when Avram Avinu lived, it wasn't that he lived on a passport, he lived 175 years. Avram Avinu's 175 years, every day, Baba Yama, every day the Zohar says that every day of his life was a complete day. Every day of his life was, and that's what it means, Es mispa yamecha amalei. Hashem says, I will fill the days of your life. Not only will he have long years, longevity in passport, but Hashem says, each day will be utilized to the fullest. And we mentioned many times, as a Pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, he davened to Hashem, and he says, Limneis yameinu kein heida, v'navi levav chochma. David HaMelech davened to Hashem in Tehillim, and he says, Limneis yameinu, to count our days, kein heida, teach us. David HaMelech said to God, teach us how to count our days. What do you mean, count the days? Count the days means that when you count something you like, you count. Like people know, when you have money, you keep counting your money. Something you like, you keep counting. Because counting makes it choshuv, it makes it important. Counting, like we learned when we learned about counting the Jews, when you count something, it never becomes bottle. The Gemara has a rule, davar shebeminyan loy bottle. Something you count never becomes nullified. So David HaMelech basically davened Hashem that Hashem should teach him how to make his days counted, meaning every day of his life should be very important. There's a medrash that says the following. It's in Megillas Esther medrash. The medrash tells a story that Bikiva was teaching a class. And the students fell asleep, which is, by the way, very positive for teachers. If they slept in Rabbi Kiva's class, it doesn't matter if they sleep in anybody's class. Rabbi Kiva was teaching his students and they fell asleep. So Rabbi Kiva wanted to wake him up. So what did he do? Rabbi Kiva said the following statement. He says, why did Esther Hamalka, merit to rule 127 countries? Because she made Achashverosh, Hamelech, Sheva Vesem, Mamea Medina. Achashverosh ruled 127 countries. So Rabbi Kiva said, why did Esther merit to rule 127 countries? Because she is the daughter, meaning granddaughter, of Sara Imenu, who lived 127 years. So let the daughter of 127 years come and rule 127 countries. And the Medrash says, when Rabbi Kiva said that, all the students woke up. So this, like, what's the connection? So the Chiddush Yerim, the first Gadol Rebbe, explains that Rabbi Kiva is saying to the students a very important lesson. He says, what is a country? A country is made up like this. Many houses make a block. Many blocks make a neighborhood. Many neighborhoods make a city. Many cities make a state. Many states make a country. Okay? The same thing is time. Many seconds make a minute, many minutes make an hour, many hours make a day, many days make a week, a month, years, and so on. Rabbi Kiva said to the students, why are you guys sleeping? Sara lived 127 full years, meaning every day was counted. That's why Esther ruled 127 full countries. But if Sara would have wasted a third of her life, let's say, then she would have only ruled a third of 127. So Rabbi Kiva basically said to his student, what is he telling him? Why did Esther merit to rule 127 countries? Because Sara didn't waste any time. So wake up. That's basically what he told him. So that's again this whole concept of Es Mispa Yomecha Amalei. Hashem says, I'm going to make your days full, that you're going to be able to be utilized, you know, full days, and you'll be able to get the most out of each day. You have people that's called Hatzlocha in Zman. I mentioned this many times. This in Torah, in English, is called time management. Torah, the problem is, secular world woke up a few thousand years after Torah woke up. Torah calls it Hatzlocha Bizman. Like we said, Baba Yomim, Lemnes Yomeinu, Torah speaks about the concept of time management. So it says, the Rebbe once told a story that the previous Rebbe was supposed to go on a very important journey for a very important cause. And you know, in Yiddish there's an expression, Reise Fever. Reise Fever means traveling fever. When people have to travel, they're nervous already, become dysfunctional, and it's a tumult already. So the Rebbe said, he once came into the previous Rebbe, when the Rebbe had to go on a trip, and he saw the Rebbe was like calmly writing or learning, whatever. So he said to him, I said to my father-in-law, how could you do this? Like, you know. So he said to him, there's a concept called Hatzlocha in Zman. And the Rebbe said that the previous Rebbe told him, the famous Rashba was from the Rishenim. The famous Rashba was a full-time doctor, had a yeshiva full-time. He was the Rav in the city that wrote literally, it's printed, thousands of responses. Tshuvas HaRashba has thousands of responses that he wrote. So he's a full-time doctor, full-time Rosh Yeshiva, full-time Rav. And the Rashba writes upon himself that he was able to go walking every day also. So the question is, how was he able to do that?
Throwing money away?
Yes, money is thrown in the street. So he says, how was he able to do that? Because he had what was called this concept of Baba Yama, full days. He was able to be successful in time. What does success in time mean? Most of us, all of us basically, when we do something, our mind is in a million different places. We already think about the next thing and this. You're not concentrating. What's the whole concept of time management they teach you is, and I never took a course, that when you're in something, focus completely. Right now, I'm here, you have to focus completely here. When I go to the next thing, I'll focus completely on the next thing. So the concept of, and this is what the Rashba is, why the Rashba was so successful. When the Rashba was a doctor, at that time he was completely a doctor, so he was able to accomplish in much less time what takes people much more time to do. I love mentioning this concept. There are people that wake up in the morning, ugh, I have such a busy day today. Yeah? Most people wake up, I don't know what they're busy with, they're busy doing nothing, but they're very busy. They're for busy with the big fat books, the appointment books, the big fat ones. In Beverly Hills, they have the big fat ones. And they're full of empty pages. Anyway, so the person wakes up in the morning and they say, oh, yeah, I'm busy. So you have two people. You have a person that kvetches a whole day, I'm busy, I have so much to do, and they end up doing nothing. Then you have another person that says, yes, I have a very busy day, let's start. By 12 o'clock, everything at the busy day was done. And he has the rest of the day free. Meanwhile, this guy's kvetching a whole day, have a million things to do, and he didn't start any of it yet. I mean, this is the two types of... I'm extreming it a little bit, but it's not such an extreme. So the concept of success in time is when you do something, you focus completely in it, and therefore you get it done in much less time, and therefore you have much more time to be able to do other things in full.
And you get it done better.
And you get it done better. That's why there's an expression, if you want to get something done, you ask a busy person to do it. Because a person who's busy, Taka, will make the time and be able to do it. So one second. So that's the concept of success in time. And this is what the Pasuk means, as Misper Yomecha Amalei, doesn't only mean, like the Gemara explains, you know, I'll make your days 100 years, 100 years, 120 years. It means I'll fill the days, that every moment of the day will be utilized to the fullest extent. But
Yaakov Avinu, I'm sure he utilized his time, and he kept all the mitzvahs.
Right.
So why did he have to suffer all his life?
What's suffering have to do with it?
It says, if you keep my Torah mitzvahs, I will make your days fulfill your days.
He had very fulfilled days, Yaakov Avinu.
He accomplished Hashem's will. But what about he himself?
That's what he was. A person's success is when they become a non-person. They become godly. When a person utilizes their time, now you can have a person utilizes their time eating and drinking and sleeping. That's called what an animal does. So they fill their life with animal years. There was a chassid, the Rebbe brings on in a Yom Yom. There was a chassid called Rabbi Kosiel Lepler. He's a big chassid of the Alter Rebbe. And one time the Alter Rebbe called him in. The Alter Rebbe said, I want to give you a bracha of Arichas Yamim, that you should live long. Okay? But it's a very nice bracha, yeah? The Alter Rebbe says, I want to give you a bracha, you should live long. So Rabbi Kosiel Lepler said to the Alter Rebbe, in Yiddish he said, Abenish Peir Sheyorn, that are Naim Lehem Le'yiros, Naim Lehem Le'yishmo. He said, don't give me farmer years, that have eyes that don't see and ears that don't hear. In other words, if you want to give me a bracha of Arichas Yamim, make sure they're good years. Don't give me farmer years, you know, ignorant years. So the Rebbe discussed this many times in the Sikh. The Rebbe asked, that's very chutzpedik. A guy calls you in and wants to give you a bracha and you start making conditions. It's not nice. A guy says, come here, I want to give you a present. No, 1 minute. I just want this present. I mean, come on, it's not nice. So the Rebbe explains, by the Kusiel Lepler, if it was that type of life, it was a curse, not a blessing. He just told the Alter Rebbe, if you want to give me a blessing, please give me a blessing. Don't give me a curse with it. You understand? Because if they're not constructive years, then not only is it not a bracha, it's negative, it's a curse. Understand? So a person, it's not a condition, you're just telling him, do me a favor. If you want to give me a bracha, thank you. But make sure it's a bracha, not something else. Okay. Then the pasuk continues. The pasuk continues and says like this. Chavzayin. Esaymasi ashalach lefanecha. I'll send my fear before you. Vameisi eskola am. And I will make all your enemies confound them. I mean, I'll knock them off and mix them up. I should tell them that you're going to come there. And I'll make all your enemies turn back of the neck to you. Meaning, in simple terms, they're going to run away from you. So Hashem said, I'm going to make a huma, meaning a commotion. Hashem said, I'm going to, again, this is all if the Jews follow the ways of Hashem. Hashem said, I'll throw my fear on the nations, like it says, they'll all see the name of God who call and they'll fear you. And he says, I'll make a commotion of all the nation, because when in war, when you get fatumult, when you become commotion, then you run away, you lose yourself. And that's what Hashem is telling him. Now he says like this, Shalachti satzira lefanecha, I'm going to send my tzira. The Rashi says, Tzira is, not here. Rashi says a different place. Tzira is like a hornet. It's a bee that, it says, Vagesh is going to drive away the Chivin, the Knani, and the Chiti Mufanecha. Why did he pick these three nations? Rashi doesn't say, it's Sheretayf. But why is these three nations? Because these three nations were the lands of Sichon and Og. And they were the most powerful of all the kings. So Hashem said, I'm going to send my tzira. Now there's two opinions in the Gemara about this whole tzira. There's a question, did the tzira go with the Jews in Israel? Because they're contradictory psukim. One place it says that the tzira stayed on this side of the Jordan and threw poison long distance across the Jordan, and it blinded all the Canaanites when the Eden came there. Another opinion says the tzira taka went across the Yarden. In some places it says it was two tziras. There was a tzira that Hashem kept on this side of the Yarden and threw poison. There was another tzira, another hornet or whatever, that went with the Jews in Teretz Yisrael. So it says this bug, this tzira, poisonous, that caused this, stung the Canaanites in the eyes, and therefore they were able to blind them, and they became mixed up, and they actually ran away. Then it says, Le'agashanu mipanacha b'shana echos. Hashem says to the Jews, listen, I'm not going to drive them away in 1 year. I'm not going to empty out Canaan in 1 year. Why? Penti arit shmama, because then the earth will become desolate. V'raba alecha chayis asod, and then all the wild beasts are going to come in. If there's empty land, then the animals are going to come. So basically Hashem says, and there's another contradiction between here and another pasuk, but again it depends if the Jews do what's right or the Jews do what's wrong. Hashem says, when I drive out the goyim, I want you to know that I'm going to do it slowly. Because when you drive out slowly, then you move in, and then another nation you slowly drive out and you move in, so then you conquer the whole land properly. Like this, if they all die or leave, then the whole Israel, Canaan, becomes empty, and then all the animals are going to come in. Then you're going to have to fight the animals. So Hashem says, I'm going to do it a little bit at a time. Which, by the way, in a spiritual sense, Hashem also teaches us on a normal, natural path, when you're doing tshuva, when you're trying to get rid of bad traits, you have to do it little by little. Or as they say, yidl by yidl. Little by little to get rid of the evil. Because in Yiddishkeit, as we know, if somebody becomes too frum, too quick, too fast, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. Because it's not internalized. The pasuk says, And not only Hashem obviously is teaching us, so he's not saying only what I'm going to do, I'm going to drive it away a little bit at a time. Hashem says, when you're conquering the seven midas, like we said, you're conquering the land of Canaan, which refers to the, symbolizes the seven bad emotional traits of a Jew. Hashem says you have to drive it away little by little. Because when you drive it away by little and you fill it up with Kedusha, then you go to the next state, next stage, and drive it out and fill it up with Kedusha, so then there's no vacuum. And then the Kedusha lasts. It's a permanent driving out, and it's a permanent level of Kedusha. What?
I thought I once heard you say that, but like if it's a bad trait, you should be, the only time, like, you shouldn't take the middle road is if you're trying to get rid of a bad trait.
That's why, if you noticed, I said, on a regular, normal basis. Normally, when you want to drive out evil, when you want to become better, you go little by little. If a person is addicted to evil, if you want to stop smoking, or drinking, or cursing, or whatever, then you have to do it sometimes extreme. Like it says, in fact, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Pasuk says, Ki Baruch Ha'am. Vayugad l'melech Mitzrayim, ki varach ha'am. By Mitzrayim, the Jews had to run out of Egypt. When Mashiach comes, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, lay b'chi pazen te'lechu, you're not going to run out of Golos. It says Hashem is going to take every Jew by the hand, and every Jew is going to slowly go out of Golos. So it's explained, why by Mitzrayim did the Jews have to run out of Golos? And when Mashiach comes, they're going to be able to go, you know, normal walking, so to speak. Because by Mitzrayim, the Jews were in the 49th level of impurity. Mm-hmm. The Jews were very bound to evil. And because they were very bound to evil, you have to run away from it. You have to be an extremist. Then you have to try to uproot it and completely, at least to begin with. At the beginning, you have to cut yourself completely with any ties to evil. But on a normal basis, that when Mashiach comes, that we're not going to be so engulfed in evil, so then the proper way of going out is gradually. Here the Pasuk is speaking, and the normal way of Avedas Hashem, a normal way of serving God, you have to go out of evil slowly, drive it out slowly. If a person is addicted to evil, then you have to put it all the way to the opposite side. And the famous mashal that Sfarim always bring down, if you want to get a tree to grow straight. Okay, so normally, you just make it, plant it straight, and you put the wood, you know, that it should go straight. But if a tree is bent all the way to the left, and you want to get back to the middle, you can't just bend it back to the middle. You have to bend it all the way to the right, and then it will go back to the middle. So there are times you need to be extremist.
So like a guy's not addicted to smoking once every few weeks.
If a guy's not addicted to smoking, and he smokes every so often, so he has to leave smoking gradually. There's no need. Huh?
I'm saying he might not have to leave smoking if he smokes gradually.
No, I'm saying, whatever it is. He doesn't have to be an extremist because there's no need. He's not addicted to it.
Right.
So he can gradually leave it. So, and a normal way of dealing with evil, well, the Rambam writes, in Hilchos Deis, the Rambam writes, that a person should always go derech mitzvah. A person should not be an extremist. Rambam writes, a Jew should not be an extremist. But, when you have that there's an extreme to the opposite side, so then you need to be extreme to the opposite side. There's a story with the Rebbe Rashab. We mentioned this story here before. When the Rebbe Rashab started the Lubavitch Yeshiva in Russia, Temcha Tumimim, it was a very fanatic, extreme yeshiva. I mean, it was really a fanatic yeshiva. And somebody once asked him, to be a religious Jew, you don't need to be so fanatic. Why do you raise the students to be so fanatic? What's the purpose of it? So the Rebbe Rashab said that in the olden times, or now if you go to a matzah bakery, in the olden times, they didn't have like we have today. You set it for 450 or 300, and that's what it stays at. You used to heat it up with coals. and then you pushed away the coals, and then you baked. Like if you ever saw a matzah bakery, okay, that's the way they do it. If you need to cook or bake at 400 degrees, you can't heat up the oven to 400 degrees. Because the second you push away the coals, the oven starts cooling down. Right? So then you're going to end up at 300 degrees, but you need 400. So what do you need to do? You have to heat up the oven to 500 degrees. That when you push away the coals, it goes down to 400 degrees, and that's what that's warm enough to, hot enough to bake. So the Rebbe Rashab said, when boys leave yeshiva, they get married, they go out into the world, they cool down. They cool down, is the bottom line. They're not in the yeshiva world anymore. So they automatically cool down. So he says, if a boy needs, let's say, 400 degrees to be from, in yeshiva, they need to be heated up to 600 degrees. Which is basically fanatic. Because normal would be 400. He said, because once they leave yeshiva, they're going to go down and they won't have enough. You understand? They won't have enough fuel to be religious. So basically, in other words, in certain times, you need to be an extremist. Because then when you go out and you have the opposite extreme, negative, so in order to keep the balance, you need more to the right before you can go more to the left. And the same thing, by the way, applies not only that, it applies every day. The truth is, a Jew, in, let's say, a typical life of a frum Jew, he goes to shul in the morning to daven, learns a little bit, goes out into the world, right? The davening and the learning of the Jew in the morning has to heat them up to a fanatic state, so to speak, on a daily basis. That when they go out into the world, into the real world, as it's called, that they don't become affected. But if in shul, they only have enough warmth to keep enough average Yiddishkeit, so what's going to happen when you go out into the world during the day? You're going to cool down to below level. I mean, these times you need extreme to be able to conquer the evil that goes on. Shabbos, the Jew needs to get rejuvenated to last the whole week. I mean, you know, there's all these things, you know, that you need. But as a rule, the Pasuk says, when things are normal, Hashem says, I'm going to drive them out slowly, that you should be able to, that the animals shouldn't be able to take over.
Those is Hashem to teach us, otherwise Hashem
should
could have power not to send the animals anyway.
Yeah, Hashem could do whatever he wants. He's the boss. Hashem could have destroyed the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael and not brought animals in. But he's saying that you need to create a situation where there's no vacuum. Because when you have a vacuum, then you get, like he says, Chayas Asada, then you're going to get the evil forces coming in. Mm-hmm. You can't allow a vacuum to happen in emptiness, because emptiness gets filled up. Okay, then it says, okay, Mat Mata Gashenu Mipanecha, the Pasuk continues, says, I'm going to drive him out a little bit, Adash Tifra, until you become fruitful, v'nechalta sa'aretz, and you'll be able to, inherit the land properly. So Hashem says, I'm going to do it slowly. V'shati es gvulcha, Hashem says like this, I'm going to set your border, miyamsuv ad yom plishtim, from the yamsuv until the sea of the plishtim, mimidbar ad anor, from the wilderness, from the desert until the river, ki etim biyatcham es yeshvi ha'aretz, I'm going to give in your hand the inhabitants of the land, v'ged ashtami biponecho, and I will sort of drive them away from before you. This all, again, is speaking when the Jews listen to what Hashem wants them to do. But Hashem warns, Lisichris lohem lekehem bris, don't make any covenant with them. Because by making a covenant with them, you're going to allow Goyim to be in the land. And once they start being in the land, so then they're going to bring idols back into the land. And this is a very interesting machlekes between the Rambam and the Ramban. Many times in Chumash you have, like this pasuk says, don't make any covenants with them. Other places it says that when the Jews came into the land, into certain countries, they said, you want to make peace with us? You want to give us the land? Make peace. You want to give us the land or should we go fight you for it? So there's a whole machlekes when it came to the seven nations, were they allowed to make an offering with them like this? You don't have to fight us, just give us your land and move out. Or do they have a mitzvah actually to go fight and they're not allowed to make a covenant with them? The Ramban learns that then we're not allowed to make any covenants with the Jews. The Rambam says even by the seven nations of Canaan, the Jews offered them first to make peace, meaning to give us your land and get rid of all the idols. But Hashem is basically, and by the way, this is so relevant today. The pasuk says clearly you're not allowed to make any treaties with the Goyim, with the Arabs. You're not allowed to make any covenants with the nations in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. And it says, if you do it, like he says in the English at the bottom, Israel was forbidden to conclude a treaty that would permit the Canaanites to inhabit the land or to permit them to retain their idols. You're not allowed to have any covenant with them in any way whatsoever.
If they renounce their gods.
If they renounce their gods, but... meaning they get rid of the idols and they accept God.
But what about the Muslims? They don't have idols.
No, there's another issue.
Are we allowed to have an Arab as a partner in business?
Are we allowed to have... One second. What?
I said the Muslims can't be compared to the...
The Muslims were not idol worshippers.
No.
But you're still not allowed to make any covenants with them.
They say if they renounce their God.
I understand. That's what Ramban says. Ramban says that the other people learn the pasuk, other commentators learn the pasuk simply, you're not allowed to make a covenant with them, or with their gods. That means there's two things. You can't make a covenant with them, or you cannot make a covenant with their gods, meaning that they get rid of their gods. What?
Their God is the same God as us.
Yeah, right. I'm saying there's two issues over here. The pasuk is don't make a covenant with them, period.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless. And then with their gods. So, in other words, there's still a concept of not making a covenant with the nations of Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah in Parshas Veschanan, it says, Leisechonin, which means, Leititin lehem chaniya ba'aretz, is forbidden for a Jew to give a goy any living space in Israel to own. Mm-hmm. It's a pasuk in Chumash.
You mean you can make peace with them, but you cannot allow them to...
Correct, to live, to own.
Live or to give them a signature that they are allowed
right.
to have land.
Right, right.
Okay. Means you can make peace, but it has nothing to do with the land.
You can make peace, but not by giving back land. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or by not giving them a right to own land. In Eretz
Yisrael. But the seal is the covenant.
I understand, I'm just saying that that...
And only if they renounce their gods. Okay.
Right.
You mean if any...
But in a spiritual sense, mm-hmm. it means the Yetzer Hara, this again refers to the spiritual evil, the Yetzer Hara, right? The seven Midas and all that.
Mm-hmm.
The Yetzer Hara comes to a Jew and says, hey, let's make a treaty. Let's make a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Religion belongs to you, the rest of the day belongs to me, so to speak, you know? Which is a logical covenant. The Yetzer Hara comes, says, the Yetzer Hara comes to the Jew and says, listen, you want to be a firm Jew in shul, when you're doing mitzvahs, fine. The rest of the day, give to me at least. So the Torah says, don't make any covenants with the Yetzer Hara.
So I have a question, which brings us today that are in exile.
Everybody's in exile today.
Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
America, we own land, we're not in Israel.
What's that? I just want to... I have to clarify your statement you said.
Sure.
You know, in Shemoneh Esrei we say, Yerushalayim ircha beracham toshuv. To Yerushalayim, your city, you should return us.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Do you know a Jew standing at the Kotel, davening, says that also?
Mm-hmm.
So the question, what do you mean, return us to Jerusalem? It can't be more Jerusalem than that.
Because we have to have the real Jerusalem.
Right. The whole peaceful with Beis HaMikdash and everything.
No,
so everybody is in Golos today.
But we're owning land.
land of the Galut. So in a way, we say, oh, we don't give you land, but we can own your land. So that's why somewhere they say, okay, you know what? Now we're going to kick you out. So it justifies why the German kick us out of the French, or you understand? Because we are allowed to own land in people's land, and they're not allowed to own land in our land.
If they let you own land in their country, yeah, you could.
No.
But our land is not.
No,
it's too late to get into now. But in a 2 second nutshell,
mm-hmm.
Goyim own their land.
Mm-hmm.
Eretz Yisrael belongs to Jews and to God. It doesn't belong to any individual. It's not my land or your land to give away. It belongs to the Jewish people for all generations. There's a big difference between Eretz Yisrael that belongs to the that God gave to the Jewish people. One second. No. But there's a big. But other nations don't have that ruling, and if another nation wants to give a Jew, if you buy legal property, because that's the rule, you can buy property, and there's nothing wrong with it. But in Eretz Yisrael, God says it's not your land to decide who it belongs to.
But when he sent us out, whose land was it?
It's still God's land. We didn't deserve to live there.
The whole world is God's land.
So it should have been.
No, but Eretz Asher Tamed Ein Hashem Alakachaba Mereshes Hashana Vadach Rishana, the land that God supervises greater than. You know what? God's all over the world. So what was the Beis Hamikdash's home?
Okay,
is God all over? Hello. So what do you mean Beis Hamikdash
was his house? Because he chose Israel as his house. He chose
is he all over or he's in his house?
Yes.
What's the difference?
He's his house. I don't know where he's here. Seeing I ask him? I don't know where's God. He's all over and in his house, isn't
he? So the whole world is his house.
Sorry?
So the whole world is his house.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? The question is not my question. Shlomo HaMelech has the question of Malachim. Halei Hashemayim Lushmei Hashemayim Leichal Kolucha Ve'avki Abayis Hazeh. Shlomo HaMelech said to God, the whole world is not big enough for you and this house is going to hold you.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the answer? The answer is, of course God's all over.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Beis HaMikdash was where God revealed himself.
Okay.
If God is all over the world, what makes this holier than this? This is a greater revelation of godliness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Eretz Yisrael is a land that Hashem reveals himself constantly. So therefore, it's God's land where he reveals himself and it belongs to us. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.